Thank the Lord, with him all things do endure. His truth endures, his word endures. And so last week we were looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We had looked at the chapter about the rapture. That was the week before last. How time goes by very quick. Pardon me. And then, of course, we had looked at chapter 5, the day of the Lord, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 11. And so what I thought was kind of interesting, looking at the rapture, in verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Then you look at chapter 5 about the day of the Lord, and we'd see in verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. I'm trying to exhort you today with the calling besides of the Holy Spirit. Because I know we all come from different backgrounds, different mannerisms, different lives, different work backgrounds, and so on and so forth. But we all have one thing in common. That's the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there to help us and to exhort us. And that's exactly what the idea behind this epistle is. You know, the rapture could happen at any time. Jesus, like it says in John chapter 14, he is gone to prepare a place for us. He says, be not troubled, my brethren. I go to prepare a place for you. So during this time of grace, during this dispensation of grace, which we looked at last week, is the time when the church begun at Pentecost all the way to the time to the rapture. We're living at this time. Jesus is building a place for each person. He is preparing a place for you and I, a home away from home. And so as we're looking at what he has done, and then the day of the Lord, number two, that happens like right after the rapture. So we will be at home with the Lord. We will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will have the bema seat of Christ. And then while that's going on, the tribulation period's going on, then we have the day of the Lord starts from the tribulation period to the time when Christ, when the Father and the Spirit, the Elohim, back in Genesis chapter 1, creates a new heavens and a new earth. And so, my brethren, we are so blessed, blessed beyond measure, even with our trials and our hiccups and our bumps that we get along life's way. We have been blessed beyond measure. Let me encourage you here this morning. Don't let the sun affect you if it goes behind the clouds, because it's still there. Remember, look for all the good things in life, all the beauty that's out there, the colors that are out there. Color your mind with good things. You don't have to put on rose-colored glasses like they said back in the 60s to experience the good life. You have it today. You have it. Just claim it and name it. Don't let Satan steal that from you. Don't let somebody else steal something from you. So going here already, we're going to be looking at a healthy, growing flock, and we should be, no matter how old we are. You know, as I told one person the other day, Kimberly and I went out on evangelism. I thought maybe it'd be for a couple hours. It was for hours we were out. And I said, you know, the best thing is talking with people about the Lord, the joy that he gives you, and the comfort and peace. So if you think you're missing something, I'm just trying to give you an idea here. Come on out and evangelize with me, you know. It's a good, I'm just trying to exhort you. I know you already do that. You already do that with your neighbors, family, friends, your prayer warriors, doing this and that. I'm just saying, if you feel like you're missing something, yeah, try it. You might like it. With that being said, and people will want to hear about Jesus. One lady says, oh, it's really interesting what you're saying. Oh, I didn't know that. This, that, and the other. But when it came to the church, their church, and I'm not going to get into the churches I've talked over the years, because I don't think it's necessary, but I look at their doctrine and what they believe in and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I get to their church, everything just stops. Oh, I think the church has all the answers, but thank you very much. You know, appreciate the time. And I'm thinking, Lord, nothing's ever wasted when it comes to you, because I minister to myself. When I'm witnessing to people, and I have to learn to be a good listener. Because people, sometimes you go out witnessing and people just are, there's some lonely people out there. My goodness, there are a lot of lonely people, even with their loaded down schedules, and there's always something to do around here. If you want to, go out to the Y about 6:30 in the morning, and the parking lot's packed with cars. You know, people are up early doing this. They're very, very busy people around here. But they, I pray they're not too busy for Christ. So last week we looked at, we live in a society, before I get into today's message, people are comfortable. They have their comforts. The people have their conveniences. And, of course, there's the control. There's a control going around here. And then we as Christians need to put on our conviction. Last week we looked at the head, the helmet of our salvation, which is your mind. Satan's always attacking the mind. And then your breastplate of love and faith deals with your heart. Remember, it's a very hard thing, and you know this as well as I do, to get your mind might be thinking right, but your heart might be so far away. And at times we just have to go ahead and minister to our hearts and say, Lord, I just need to get my heart right today. My heart's not right. I'm going through all the things I'm supposed to do, but my heart's just not in it. And I need to be in it because I'm out of it here. So Paul wants to encourage the Thessalonian church, saying, look, guys, you know, I want to come visit you again. I'm in Athens, and, you know, I had my servant deliver this letter to you, Titus. And, you know, what's happening, not Titus, but Timothy, excuse me. Titus delivered the Corinth letter. So you have Timothy, bring in. I want to encourage you that we can be a happy, healthy, growing church together. And remember, God doesn't look at numbers necessarily. He looks at hearts. Satan wants you to look at numbers all the time. He's a numbers person. Well, you know, numbers are important for everything. But we need to remember it's the heart that matters with God. And so as we look here in verse 12, for he's trying to exhortate us in the Lord and in the Spirit of Christ here. And there's 18 different areas here we're going to look at here this morning. It says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and we want to admonish you. In all 13 epistles that Paul writes, he has use the word brothers. In other words, that could be used as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Obviously, there's 60 times it's mentioned, 27 times in the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Galatians 6:10 says that we are a family of believers. Hebrews 2:11 says we are the same family. 1 Peter 4:17 calls us the family of God. So, looking at that verse, verse 12, that the idea of this exhortation with the leadership, the word laboring means to be working to the point of exhaustion. We all, as leaders, work very hard to do our best. And sometimes we make mistakes, or sometimes we don't get it right the first time. We don't get it right the second time. We didn't even get it right the third time. But thank God we have other people here that are called to go alongside of us to help us out. And we have people here that are very tired this morning. And, you know, they just put out all that they can do, and they're giving the best they can. And God blesses them as well. You know, the key to that success is faithfulness, just being faithful. You might be drooped over in your chair this morning asleep, and if you're pretending you're praying, that's okay. Because I used to do that at one time too, just the great pretender. But I could hear what was going on. I remember a pastor saying, are you okay? And this is many years ago, you know, when you raise a family, going to school, and you're working full time. And I'm like, I'm okay. I can hear what's going on. I'm fine. Just, I'm okay. And many of you are like that. You have full schedules and you work, you know, as the saying goes with the ladies, they shop till they drop. There's some people who just labor and work hard. Some of you are in pain, very much in pain. And God is still of blessing you too, because he understands. He went through pain too. So there's laboring, which means the point of exhaustion. Number two, overseeing, which living means the standing before the flock to lead them in the way of righteousness. So that's why we have the Word of God, so it's proclaimed, so that we'd understand it. And so we're all leaders in our own homes, in our own lives, and we want to live a righteous life. We want to have that breastplate of righteousness. It's God's righteousness that protects our hearts. And because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:1 that our hearts are wicked, and God's word is like a hammer that breaks the heart. Okay, it can be hard as a rock. And that's why we got to be very careful every day that we don't fall into the, we don't deceive ourselves, or we become hardened with sin. Number three, there is admonishing in verse 12, instructing in the truths of the word of God. And in Proverbs 10:17, it has the idea of a correction. God corrects us. He also heeds discipline, shows the way of life. In Proverbs 10:17, but whoever ignores correction leads to going to astray. That's why God's word is here to correct us, to admonish us, to help us out. And we need one another to help to admonish us, to correct us. And, you know, I feel sorry for people who think they're above board and they think they don't need to be corrected. And Proverbs 13:18, someone who will not learn will be poor and disgraced. Anyone who listens to correction will be respected. There's also another one here in Proverbs 15:32. If you pay attention when you are corrected, you are wise. And if you refuse to learn, you are hurting yourself. And if you accept correction, you will become even wiser. So I pity the person. There is more hope for a fool than a person who's wise in their own eyes. I have seen leaders who think that they're so wise and so right be humbled very quickly because they have been put in a position of leadership, and everybody knows, you know. And in the same way, even it goes with family life. It's always great to apologize. It's always good to say and humble and say, you know, I was wrong. I did something. I messed up. And so it's always wiser to stay humble. As one person put it, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm laying low. In other words, the bullets and the arrows are flying through the skies, and this person is just laying low, just being careful. So we're also going to look at another way here of keeping a happy, healthy flock. It says here, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So to be at peace, you need to have unity. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:10, says, now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and there will be no divisions amongst you, and you'll be united in the same understanding and the same conviction. So it all boils down to bearing one another up. And no, nobody here is going to think the same thing. You've got to understand the church was a very young church. And I've seen this happen in very young churches, and I've seen this happen in older churches, where pride can get into the way and cause division. And I'm not talking about the people who come to church, stay here for 6 months, and then they leave because they might have learned a lot, okay? But it's just not the church for them. So they, and I pray for them. And I appreciate the people who have come here, stayed a while, and they left because this is not what they want. And you know what? That's okay. And I bless them, and I say, thank you so much. And it's being honest and sincere. So, and we, it keeps the peace and the unity within that. And Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, to live at peace with all men. So 2 Corinthians 13:11 says, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we need to be not necessarily peacemakers, but peacekeepers, just to keep the peace. It's okay. And I'm not talking about going against your conviction. Let me explain something here to you. when you have a younger Christian, you can only expect so much from them, okay? As an older Christian, you're there to guide them and to help them and to lead them. Older Christians need other Christians to guide and direct them because sometimes they forget, sometimes they just don't think about it, and you have other people to come alongside to encourage. And let me tell you too, for the younger Christians, you don't judge them in judgment, in the wrong judgment, but you love them. You love them as Christ has loved you, and you're there for them. You guide them and direct them. It just doesn't necessarily talk about a church here today, but other churches around, other people who we meet on the streets. And whether people like you or not, you know, you should walk away with the same love as you had when you first met them, and you're filled with peace and joy. So there is the encouragement there as well. Then we see here in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn the unruly. So you have people today that are unruly, people that are rebellious. And you know what? I used to be rebellious years ago. And yes, I still have that rebellious spirit in me. So I have to make sure my checks and my balances work out. Just like in a bank book. You make sure everything's in an even keel there. It says here, Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins, go to improve him in private. Of course, if he doesn't hear what you have to say, then you take it before another witness. And thank God that's never happened here before. But we take things in private. If we disagree with somebody who's being unruly, I mean, somebody who's out of bounds. Remember working there in a home for troubled teens. Kimberly and I actually lived with them. We lived as house parents. We lived them 24/7. We had Bible studies. We led people to the Lord. That's not the point. The point is that we had unruly ones because we had to answer to the courts, to lawyers, to judges. We had to answer to the state. And so there were some that were unruly. We used to call it keeping boundaries. We have boundaries. We don't do this because we have to keep our distance. And with unruly people, you have to keep your distance from them, but you can correct them. You don't have to be part of their unruliness, okay? And say to them, you know what, I love you in the Lord, but I need to tell you this because I love you, and it's not because I don't love you. 2 Thessalonians 3:15, for those who were disobedient to the instruction of Paul, he told them, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And again, you know, that brother or sister in Christ, we need to go ahead and to correct them and to also warn them because of sin. And we remember we do it in love. Okay. Then we see here, continue on here in verse 14, there's another step out of the 18, the comfort the faint-hearted. So, in other words, the word faint-hearted means to encourage, because we all become faint-hearted. When we get tired, we can do things we usually don't do. And so God gives us the strength. It's like taking a nap when you're tired. It says this here that encourage, Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we can become faint-hearted because of sin. Sin creeps in, and it can discourage us. And it's real easy to get discouraged if we dwell on the same thing over and over again. It's good to have somebody encourage you and say, come on, let me lift you up. Let me encourage you today in the Lord. Or let me take you out for a cup of coffee. Let's go out to eat. Let's do something fun. Let's just break the rhythm here and get something joyful and a different harmony together. And so Acts 14:22 says to the young churches, Paul's encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, you must enter into the kingdom of God. So you might be going through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations, but let me tell you what, there are many brothers and sisters who have gone through the like same way that we have, and yet to enter into the kingdom of heaven, this is going to be expected. This is going to happen to you. So, you know, I'm sure you've all been there, done that, and you're thinking, okay, I'm still going through it. Let me encourage you today that we have such an inheritance. Do yourself a favor today. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. It talks about our inheritance. Think about Jesus who says, I'm going to prepare a place for each one of you. He has a place he's preparing for you. There's no place like home, as the saying goes. And remember that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us desires of our heart. I believe that's going to happen when we're in heaven. It's going to give us the desire to see what he has a home for us. Okay? And then Luke 22:32 says, I have prayed for you that your faith may, that's to Peter, Jesus is saying that your faith may fail not. So we are prayer warriors also, and a step that we have in faith, that we pray for another. I know that a lot of you pray for one another. We had somebody who's going in for surgery. Not going to mention their name, but when the time's right, their name's going to go on flock now. So I want to encourage you that don't hold back a blessing. God has a blessing. Take it. Okay? There was a point in my life I thought, and it sounds ridiculous, but I was a baby Christian going to jails and ministering to convicts. I felt God's calling in my life to get the word out and to save people. I still do. But the one guy in Preaching Ministries told me, he says, Davis, I'm going to offer you a suit. I said, I'm not worthy. I was young. I'm not worthy to have a brand new suit. I don't deserve anything like that. He says, look. He says, get off that thinking. He says, I want to bless you. When God wants, never take away God's blessing that somebody wants to give you. Because some of us, all of us need each other. We need each other, you know, because we all have gifts ministering to one another. We are equipped. That's one of the things that of us, we are equipped what? To help one another. My job is to equip you all. I hate using that word job. My ministry is to equip you all for the ministry and to build each other up and to protect you and so on and so forth with the word of God. And then we also, in verse 14, says to help the weak. And Romans 14:1, accept the one who is weak in faith, but do not purpose of passing judgment on opinions. In other words, we might have a weaker brother or sister in Christ, but we should not pass judgment on them. We, you know, the opposite of judgment is mercy. The opposite of judgment is mercy. And that's why, like even in Brian's ministry, helping out with WAM, he's helping out these kids that are like throwaways. And the part is mercy. God is showing mercy to these kids that are misfits in society. That's why you have people who join these one percenters out there, that they feel like they're misfits in society. The gangs out there, they gravitate to that because they need Christ. They need Jesus. And it's amazing how many gangs out there Kimberly and I've ministered to, that they're so open to it. Because they know we are here today. We're the real deal. Maybe God hasn't called you to that, but you're ministering to a misfit out there. Doesn't matter how well you have it, how good it looks. There are a lot of misfits in today's society. And then helping the weak. Romans 15:1 says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who or without strength. It has the idea of bearing up. It has also the idea that word bearing is carrying a load on your back. Okay? To bear that load for somebody else who's suffering, who's just can't seem to get it together, who's weak that way. And then, of course, James 1:27 says, this is a pure and undefiled religion. That means in James 1:27 has the idea of being free from sin in the sight of God the Father, to visit the orphans and widows in distress. Why? Because back in Paul's day, they were taken advantage of. They were orphans, were just kids out in the streets everywhere. We have them today housed in different places, and we had great revival and reformation break out in England because of different people helping out orphans and widows. But widows as well, they were taken advantage of because they were all by themselves. And that's why Paul exhorts the widows, be careful about those wolves out there that try to take you and take everything that you have. Be careful. And that's why, you know, you have believers here to protect you. You have prayer. You have a pastor that is there, will come at your any beck and call to be there to help you. Or, you know, my wife or another sister in Christ to be there to help you in times, because you have thieves out there. And so you live right with God. You visit those people, like with Wham, with the orphans out there, as well as with the widows. And then another part found in here in a healthy growing church is patience. And with patience, Ephesians 4:2, verse 14, we're reading from, be diligent and preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Here in Colossians 1:11 says, Paul says, and prayed that the Colossians would be strengthened and with all power according to the glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So we just need to sometimes put the brakes on, sometimes just expect it. There was a meeting that I was called to this past week. I'm not going to get into it. We thought the meeting was going to be maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and it ended up being for an hour and a half. We had to wait for this all to get together because things change after many years. I'm not going to get into details, but patience, you pray for patience, especially with people. Be prepared to have to wait and wait and wait and wait. Even if you're looking at your watch, looking at what time it is, sometimes we're under that. But we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. So we have to be prepared for all things to happen. I know it's hard. It's not easy. But we have the Lord. Greater is He that's in you than what goes on in the world. So in verse 15, it says, see that no one renders evil for evil. There's another exhortation here. Evil for evil. Never pay back evil to evil with anyone. If you stand out, it's all for the better. Okay? Somebody has done you wrong. It's best just to take the hit, so to speak. Turn the other cheek. The idea when people say, oh, do I need to go ahead and turn the other cheek? It has the idea of just walk away. It doesn't mean you have to give them the other cheek to hit you and back and forth. Okay? It's a verbal abuse. If it's a physical abuse, it's all kinds of abuses out there, right? You know, people, you might be one today who's going through a lot of abuse growing up. And you're still hurting because you're scarred. You still remember those things. And sometimes Satan brings those to mind to torment you. Let me tell you what. Best way to deal with it, call upon the Lord, resist the devil, and he must flee. Also think about this, that the Lord, will take care of you. And if you give your mind, let this mind be with you, which is in Jesus Christ, these thoughts won't come to you. The problem is today is we dwell on those things, those evil things that people might have done to us. So, and then also says, do not say, I will repay evil for evil. In Proverbs 20:22, wait upon the Lord and he will save you. Let the Spirit of God control you. Because people get so lost today, they forget about the Spirit's presence. They forget, we'll get to this in a minute, about praying without ceasing. It goes on, you're praying, you were praying before you came in here. I know you were. Because of the smiles and response, and it was wonderful. And I'm praying, Lord, help these blessed saints, Lord. It's so good to see them. And, you know, and then, of course, Luke 6:28 says, bless those who heard curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. You know, we're going through the book of Job. And through our first couple of chapters, the first time, all the physical things were taken away from Job. And his wife says, curse God and die. And I'm sure that hurt Job's feelings, because his wife, and I'm not passing judgment on her, because any of us can break at any moment. We all have our breaking points. That's why I never look at people who are in prison or being tortured and they're broken. That means their spirit is crushed. Like David said in Psalms 51, he repented about he did his sin with Bathsheba. God loves a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And what happens is that when you're at that breaking point, God fills in that void. He will take care of you. And, you know, Job looked at his wife, I'm sure, and that hurt more than anything else. After having all his animals killed, his house was blown away, his family murdered by assassins, and he's there all by himself, and his wife says, why don't you just curse God? I'm sure that hurt more than anything else, because he loved his wife. And he says, you don't have to curse God. Do not repay evil for evil, okay? Job did not open his mouth. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord, in Job chapter 2. So I'm sure we have all prayed that prayer. God has given, he has taken away. And then, of course, there's goodness here, and I got to be moving along here. verse 4. And if I don't get finished, that's okay. I'll continue next week, right? Or, you know, I'm sure. And we'll continue with our sermon and schedule as it is. So it says, with the goodness of the Lord, in verse 15, it says, Romans 12:21, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The idea of good is moral excellence. In other words, as one person put it, it's your work clothes on. It's your morality that you show with your work clothes on. You do good unto others, as God has been good to you. And you can overcome it. Always look for the good things in life. Somebody's hurt you, well, look. Or something bad happened to you. Look, at God allows all things to happen for a reason, for us either to grow up, or things happen in life to glorify his name. And some things happen out of nowhere. We don't expect it to happen. It's like everything was going so good today. Why did this happen? Well, because God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Galatians 6:10, let us do good by all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Go out of your way to be good to one another, okay? Even if you're tired and you're exhausted, say, look, you know, I'll get back in touch with you. I'm going to take a nap, going to take a break, or whatever your schedule is. And wait for that person to bless you, to help you out. Then we see in verse 16, there's to rejoice. I love this verse. It says here in Luke 10:20, notwithstanding, and this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Christ was talking to the disciples as they were casting out demons. They were doing this for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Yes, they had people that were pretenders that they got in trouble. You remember that one of the Gospels, that a demon came out and tore off the clothes of these false disciples, and they ran out horrified because they were thinking they could be like Paul. They cannot buy the gift of God. The Holy Spirit that is given to you, that has been given to you since the day you were born spiritually. He says, notwithstanding, and this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven, in the Lamb's book of life. So we can rejoice in that, regardless of what we do. We're just servants, more than just servants. We are loved, we're cared about, we are spoiled, we're taken care of. Even those poor brethren that are persecuted, God will give grace to them too. Even those ones that have had their arms cut off, hands cut off in Nigeria, because it was a reminder to them that Islam controls. No, it doesn't. The Lord controls. And God should, through persecution, guess what? Through persecution, since this is persecution week, it should make Christians stronger. Say, how does that make you stronger? Well, through prayer, through helping one another, knowing that God's there for you through thick and thin. Pray for these people. It's a horrible thing to go through, yes, but God wants us to rejoice in all things. Say, I can't do that. That's ridiculous. If something like that happens, of course not. You're going to be in a state of shock. The one lady was sitting on the bed in the hospital, eyes wide as saucers, and her bandage was on her left arm. They cut off her left arm. They murdered all her kids and her husband. And she said after she got out of the state of shockness, she was like, I will still praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And she cried, and she cried. But that was the Spirit of God. You ever had something come out of your mouth that was the Spirit of God? You're like, wow, I didn't know that I could do something like that or say that. Where did that come from? You know? So God wants to bless, and He does bless. And He does bless the persecuted. It says here about rejoicing, but in verse Psalms 5:1 says, but let those that put their trust in thee rejoice, ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name and be joyful to thee. Thank the Lord for everything, you know, and rejoice. And you know, it's the Spirit of God that helps you to rejoice. I don't have time to get into James chapter 1, but you read the first couple of verses in there. You know, basically he was saying, if you want wisdom for God, then ask about it. God will give it to you. Whether you're going through all these trials, James is saying. And the idea is that multi-trials in James chapter 1, the first four verses. But God will give it to you, wisdom liberally, and give it to you generously if you ask without what? Wavering back and forth. So you're just like a ship that was parked along the dock, and then one day, like I remember in Alaska, somebody forgot to tie up the ship. I remember walking along the dock as I was doing my truck driver duties there, emptying the garbage. Paid really good, too. You know, here I was out in the island all by myself for 3 years pastoring a church, and someone had forgot to, and the ship was floating out into the bay, and outside the bay was the Bering Sea. You wouldn't want to go there anyway because one of the worst storms in the world happened out there in the Bering Sea. Well, anyway, if you ever watched The Deadliest Catch, you'll understand. But the point is the ship was going out. I yelled out to somebody with my truck. I got out and I said, you forgot to tie her up, the ship up. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what these people were thinking. They were probably all tired. They were fishermen. And they said they really appreciate it. So they had to run out there with a boat, a small boat, and get their ship and bring it back in. Literally, everybody took off to have break time. I forget what you call it, but it was time to stop. So there is a rejoicing that God can call us to do. And so it's best to have that joy, to keep it with us. In verse 16, that we can rejoice. And I'm going to close with a verse here. And we'll have to continue next week. But there is a song put out by Josh Turner back in 2003. It's called A Long Black Train. And Long Black Train is a picture of what? The devil rides a long black train that goes nowhere. Goes nowhere. And we see a lot of people in the world like to get on that long black train. And they're going nowhere. This week has been crazy. Driving, people are just in such a hurry. I guess the holidays are coming up and they're just boom, 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 you know. Verse in this song says here, Josh Turner, it's the idea of rejoicing. There's a long black train coming down the line, feeding off the souls that are lost and crying. Rails of sin, only evil remains. Watch out, brother, for that long black train. Look to the heavens, you can look to the sky. You can find redemption, staring back into your eyes. There is protection and there is peace, the same. Burning your ticket on that long black train has the idea of looking for your redemption, looking to Jesus Christ. Don't get on that long black train. There's an engineer on that long black train making you wonder if the ride is worth the pain. He's just waiting on your heart to say, let me on that long black train. Well, I can hear a whistle from a mile away. It sounds so good, but I must stay away. The train is a beauty, making everybody stare, but its only destination is middle of nowhere. It's amazing over the years we've lived by different places where God has called us. The railroad tracks. Always seems like there's a railroad track. And I think about that long black train. And last but not least, because there's victory in the Lord, I say victory in the Lord. Let me encourage you today. There is victory in Him. Remember, we have the victory. We can rejoice. Cling to the Father in His holy name. Don't go riding on that long black train. The last chorus says, and sing, cling to the Father in His holy name, and don't go riding on that long black train. Yeah, watch out, brother, for that long black train. It's the devil driving that long black train. So that song's been around for a long time, even before Josh Turner's time. And so, you know, it is a long black train. Let me encourage you. We are a healthy flock growing. Don't let problems and issues and temptations lead us astray. Let me encourage you today. Want to stay, as they say, happy and healthy spiritually. Remember, Jesus preached about that more than anything else. And I have to stop. I'm going to stop at verse 17 because my time's done. I wanted to encourage you. That we would continue to look to the heavens for our redemption, so it draws nigh.